What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Defocus Media Podcast. You know, have you ever been in a situation in the exam room where you need to explain a very difficult subject matter? Maybe you need to diagnose glaucoma for the first time or explain myopia control. Now think about how difficult sometimes those conversations can be, and then imagine trying to do it in a different language. Can you explain myopia control in Korean? I know a lot of us probably are gonna say no, but being a good healthcare provider means being able to communicate with our patients. And luckily, there's an app for that. I would love to welcome to the show, this is Dimitri Richter. He created the OpTranslate app, which is available specifically for optometrists being able to have those difficult patient communication questions. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Dr. Lyerly. Yeah, my name is Dimitri. I am a third-year student at the New England College of Optometry in Boston. And this is something that I came up with last year in my second year when I started clinic. And we released the app this past summer on the App Store.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself. And I mean, why did you go into optometry? What made you choose this field?
So a little background of myself. I'm actually an immigrant. I was born in the former Soviet Union in St. Petersburg, Russia. And I came to the U.S. with my mother when I was fairly young. I kind of grew up around the East Coast of the U.S., New York, Florida. And I ended up doing high school in New Hampshire, which is where my parents currently live and my family. Afterwards, I did my undergrad in Montreal, Canada, at McGill University, where I majored in biology. And afterwards, I worked at Mass General Hospital doing a few cell and molecular biology research jobs and some side jobs as well. So originally, optometry became interesting to me because I had interest in eyes and I had interest in general medicine and medical practice. It wasn't anything, no major spark that inspired it. I just kind of felt it out and did some shadowing and saw a bunch of different practices and a bunch of different modes of practice. And I really, really liked it. There are many, many great things about optometry.
That's so fascinating that you were in a totally different aspect of healthcare before working at Mass General. And then you decided, yeah, I think I want to be the doctor. I want to be on the other side of this and kind of totally change gears. Has some of those experiences working on the more cellular level kind of shaped your experience so far as a student optometrist?
It has. I mean, I always have a strong interest kind of for things relating to genetics and cell and molecular biology and biochemistry. And I always enjoyed the classes in optometry school that dealt with those things. I mean, I have pretty strong interest in genetic disease and things that can be passed on and different signs and symptoms that are associated with that and locate things to genes as well.
Talk about like a big future focus of optometry and ophthalmology, by the way. There's so much gene therapy discussion coming out. We might get some of our first gene therapy treatments for diseases like retinitis pigmentosa in the near future. So I think there's a real niche involved in this, is like optometric genetic disorder counseling or genetic disorder treatment. So that could be a real opportunity for you.
I mean, it could. Yeah. You know, I'm very interested in that. Things like Stargardt's or retinitis pigmentosa. Hopefully we have some promising things on the horizon. And I'm really interested in epigenetics as well and kind of using nutrition and diet and basically things that aren't considered traditional medicine to kind of treat and stave off different conditions like AMD.
Well, we're talking about all this kind of exciting future possibilities, but you did not wait. I mean, you're a third year student and you have not waited to graduate to start doing something really important for the optometric community. Tell us about what sparked the idea to create OpTranslate.
It's funny. People ask me this and I can't pinpoint it to one exact moment. I always considered that when we started clinic second year that language barriers would be an issue. Boston is a large population and it has a large non-English speaking population as well. Spanish is obviously very big, but we also have Haitian Creole, Portuguese Creole from Cape Verde, Albanian, all sorts of things. And I just thought it would be a useful tool, you know. There are different resources available like the AOA Spanish Clinical Guide in PDF format. But it's kind of inconvenient, you know, to pull that up even on the computer or on your phone, scroll through it. I kind of wanted to make something that was relatively easy to use and relatively a simple design and could help doctors get through eye exams, at least to some degree, in other languages.
You know, it seems so. I think about what I do in my own practice because I only really speak English and people will joke that that's not necessarily all that well because I am from the South. So I have a lot of these colloquial sayings and pronunciation mistakes that happen when I start talking. But anyway, Daryl will pick on me about that later. It's one of those things where I do this archaic thing now when I think about it, I'll write down what I want the patient to take home as important topics and tell them, I want you to take this home and put it in Google Translate or have someone translate it for you. And I'm like handwriting all this stuff. And how much better patient care would it be if we could just talk about it right there in the exam room? But like you said, a PDF file, that's impossible to do that right there in front of the patient exam room conversation. So using an app is a whole different way to make that conversation happen.
I mean, that's true. And you know, the app kind of serves as a clinical phrase book, but it also serves as a learning guide. And one of the big things I push is, you know, clinic times are busy and you don't have a lot of time per patient. And you can use the app in clinic while your patient is in your chair, but it's also really useful to use, you know, at home or at the gym or sitting watching Netflix to be able to practice phrases. I mean, you have a lot of these apps like Duolingo out there that, you know, just 5-10 minutes a day helps you learn a language. Well, you can do the same thing here. And I'm not looking to make the doctor completely fluent to be able to discuss any topic. But in reality, I really believe that these are all smart people who got into optometry school, who graduated, who have been practicing, who specialize, who do residency. I think if you can get through things like that and pass boards and get your license, I think you can learn a language to a certain degree. I understand it's hard for a lot of people, but I think you can get it done to the point where it's, you know, practical and useful in your clinical life.
So talking about creating an app, because that in and of itself seems just baffling that you would know how to do it. Have you made an app before and how did you learn how to do it?
So the funny thing is, no, I've never made an app before. And I would have you maybe guess the amount of number of lines of code I've written for this app. And the answer is zero. I don't know how to code and I haven't written any code. I was able to find a platform, a website, and there are numerous of these available on the internet that helps you design an app. That pretty much breaks it down where you choose a layout, where you input text and pictures, and it helps you publish, it helps you create, it helps you demo it. And if you think about it, my app is very simple. Pretty much all of it is text and links and pictures. So I didn't need to make anything complicated. And these sites pretty much put it down to kind of like designing a Facebook page or something like that, just a little bit more complicated. I mean, the time invested was definitely quite a bit, but I think it's very doable. And I think I'd love to be able to inspire people at least a little bit who, you know, maybe put off by technology and computers and coding to pursue their ideas if they have one, because I think these days it's really doable for pretty much anybody.
What's so great is when Daryl and I have been talking to guests about things they've created, you know, Matt Geller creating his entire online platform for new grad, for example. None of us knew anything about how to create what we wanted to create. You just have the vision and you self-research and you find a way to make it happen. So not knowing how to do it is not a barrier to being able to do it.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of financial incentive for people who want to make online products and online, you know, services and companies being able to do that. I mean, I think everybody generally wants that. You know, you can hire web designers and things like that and professionals and app creators. But I think the hard part is, you know, just finishing school and getting your degree and then everything else can come to you.
You mentioned a little bit about how the app works earlier, but I want to get more into the nitty gritty of it. How do you envision docs using this app? And just walk us through what the platform can do.
Yeah, of course. So the app is pretty straightforward. Load it on the phone and you have a main menu with various languages. There's a few side features as well that I'll get to. So we'll just pick Spanish to start. I mean, right now we have 8 languages. We have Spanish, French, Portuguese, Haitian Creole, Korean, Mandarin, Hindi, and Gujarati, which is another Indian language. So each language section has a comprehensive eye exam broken down into 6 sections, from basic history to visual to medical history, entrance testing, refraction, all the way through dilation. So clicking on a section, you will see a list in order of how exam goes, English phrases followed by their Spanish translations, and then a phonetic pronunciation. So you can read through, you can memorize, you can scan these phrases. So we also have a contact lens section, which is available and quite large. And we also have a binocular vision testing section as well. We also have some pre-written diagnoses that are a few sentences long for conditions like diabetes, hypertension, glaucoma, and cataracts that can be translated, spoken by you, or read, or have the patient read them directly. And we have some patient education tools as well. We have various links for a number of diseases that take you to NIH sites and different sites that provide full pages of written translation, informing patients about their conditions. We also have some original eye diagrams that I'm very proud of. I have a friend who's a graphic artist named Whitney Taylor, and she designed all these for us. And they're pretty neat, and they have labels in the various languages. And there's also a full glossary if you need to look up specific phrases that has over 120 terms.
So I know that you obviously are very talented when it comes to communication and languages, but you have outsourced some of this translation since you are using so many different languages on the platform. How did you find people that could make these translations for you?
Well, most of them I actually found through NECO, through the New England College of Optometry. I have some amazing classmates and people in the years above and below me who did some great work for me. And obviously I have to shout them out. Victoria Gagnon for French, Yuen Chung for Korean, Natalie Lin for Mandarin, Avni Siddhapura for Hindi and Gujarati. It's been really great. I've been lucky enough to meet all these people, and we've really done some great work. You know, people are very enthusiastic about doing the languages, and I actually did pay them some compensation as well for their work. So I think it's just people were interested in the idea, and they wouldn't mind having their name on something. It's been pretty nice.
So it sounds like most of this has been some of your fellow students. What's been the reception at the school? Have you found that the New England College of Optometry has really embraced the app and gotten the word out about the product?
They have. They've been great, especially Dr. Tony Cavalrano. He's in charge of quite a number of things at NECO, and he's been very supportive. He's been looking for me to try to find some sponsorships or scholarships for the product. We went to Academy. We actually presented the app at Academy recently with our own booth that was given to us very generously by Academy and Betty Taylor. We went to a NECO reception as well, and they gave us a little shout out, and it's been great. You know, the reception from all schools has been great, but especially NECO. And students are actually very keen at Academy. Students were some of the most interested people in the app as well.
And that is so amazing. And we know how expensive booths can be at these conferences. I mean, it's not uncommon for a booth to run $5,000 to $10,000. So such a generous opportunity to see Academy supporting optometrists and the initiatives that they're creating to make our profession a better place to practice.
Absolutely. I pretty much cold called Ms. Taylor, who's in charge of trade shows for Academy, and just kind of gave her a pitch. I said, listen, I'm a student. You know, I know these booths are several thousand dollars. I'm on a student budget. Can I just come walk around, hang out some flyers? And she loved the idea. She said, no, we'll give you a booth for free in a nice location. We love this thing, you know. I think we were the only app, or maybe there was one other app there at Academy in terms of exhibitors. So we got lucky, and we struck while the iron is hot. I had a great team. I took four of my classmates with me to help promote the app. I just want to shout them out. Norman Chan, Manpreet Dhaliwal, Sunny Singh, and Eva Ho. They were my team, and they worked so hard for me. And we had a blast in Chicago, too.
So I want to get a little bit more into how you've done this, because not only have you created this very successful product that's really been embraced by especially the younger generation of optometrists that are so used to using their phone to help them navigate during the day anyway, but how have you marketed this thing? How have, and obviously, having that booth at Academy was great, but anything else that you've done to get this off the ground?
Honestly, the single best piece of marketing I did, I spent $0 on marketing for several months. We released the app in July, and I spent no money at all until we went to Academy. And the only thing I spent money on was a Snapchat geo filter that ran for the 3 days. Spent about $100 on that. The single best piece of marketing, hands down, that I used was the ODs on Facebook group that Alan Glazer created. One post the day of or the day after release got 1,000 likes and over 100 comments, all of them positive, and led to a high number of downloads and great exposure. And then from this stemmed a feature email in the AOA's daily email. We got featured by New Grad Optometry as well, Dr. Geller. So that kind of spiraled, you know, kind of cascaded forward, but ODs on Facebook is a great outlet.
That's so good to see, like, marketing money really well spent turning around on those kind of more grassroots forum adventures. Is where I ended up finding out about you was through a little feature in Contact Lens Spectrum, which I guess that tells, like, I'm such an old person, but I still read, like, all of that. I was like, oh, let me check out this app. But, like, one thing picking you up then led to all these other sources picking you up in addition.
Well, it's great. I mean, I did not see us in Contact Lens Spectrum, but we have actually close friend of mine and somebody I really have worked with professionally in terms of him kind of teaching me about the profession was Dr. Jason Chin, a NECO grad. And actually, we both went to McGill as well in Montreal. And he designed the contact lens section for me. He designed the English version, which I had translated. He did a great job. It's a huge section. He gave me so much great work. And he's been so supportive overall at Academy and in general. And he probably would have seen us in contact lens spectrum. I hope he's proud of that.
Well, what's next? Because obviously you're getting more and more languages on the app. You're getting the word out about what this app can do. What is your plan for 2018?
Yeah, so, you know, my plan for 2018, number one, is to pass boards. that's kind of top priority. And, you know, I kind of get pulled into this app business, but I need to kind of buckle down and make sure I get through school because this is a good amount of multitasking. But we do have some things on the horizon. We're looking to release our ninth language, which is Vietnamese, by the new year. We're looking to release some extra eye diagrams as well for the other languages that don't have them. That's coming in soon. Honestly, the biggest thing that we have coming is possibly a podcast of our own. And we're in the works of making, you know, a weekly episode with a podcast of the different sections of the different languages spoken out by native speakers. As kind of language lessons, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 minute episodes that could be really useful because we've got a great response and a lot of comments, but the number one suggestion has been audio. And audio is pretty tricky since I don't code, but we figured that, you know, while we may not have kind of push to talk features with audio in the app, we can supplement the learning experience with these weekly podcast lessons. So we actually have most of the ones for Spanish and French recorded, and you can look for those on SoundCloud and on the iTunes app podcast store sometime in the new year.
Great idea. Well, as you can tell, we're big fans of audio around here, and we know that it's a great way, like you talked about, multitasking. You can be watching something on TV and then also listening to, you know, something about optometry and expanding your horizons at the same time. It's an eyes-free platform, and it's a great way to make the best use of your drive to and from work or whenever you have that extra moment at the gym, still thinking about the thing that we're passionate about, which of course is taking care of our patients.
I'm huge on audio. I think text has always been present in the internet. And I think recently with things like Instagram and even Facebook, you know, digital photos and images have been really popular. And I think audio is kind of next on the horizon with things like Alexa skills, with Amazon, with podcasts, with things like that, you know, SoundCloud. I think that's really coming to the forefront. And I think a big reason for that, like you mentioned, is that you can do those things, you know, at the gym, in the car, on the train. You don't need to be staring at a screen to do it.
So if someone is listening to this and getting inspired about, oh, I have this language that I would love to submit for the app, or just wants to get in touch with you about an idea that they have on broadening the platform, what's good contact information for you?
So yeah, that would be great. We love all comments, all criticisms, all suggestions, anything you have. We'd love to hear it. We have a website, optranslate.com, that you can get through and touch with us. You can email us directly at optranslate.app@gmail.com, or even better, like us and join our Facebook page at facebook.com/optranslate. We respond to messages right away and we love hearing from everybody.
Thank you so much, Dimitri, for joining us on the show today. Make sure you check out everything on, you know, whatever your platform is, whether you're using an Android or iPhone, you can download the app. It's OpTranslate. And we'll put the link on the website if you guys want to check it out directly.
Yeah, thank you so much. OpTranslate is on both app stores for $4.99. There's no ads, there's no in-app purchases, there's no monthly subscription fees. Check it out. And thank you very much for having me.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.